Okay, well, welcome to Game Chat, everyone. This week we are starting our conversation on Aviary Attorney. For this week, we're talking about Acts 1 and Acts 2. The game as a whole has four acts, so this is hopefully like a halfway point of sorts. I really have enjoyed the game. Aviary Attorney, for those who don't know, is just kind of a mystery, kind of along the same style as like the Ace Attorney series, where you play a lawyer, you're figuring out cases with your partner, except you're a bird. And there's some really clever artwork. Like, it has this, since it's based in France, it has this nice, like, kind of like cross-hatching style that was popular. During a certain period in France, as long as really cool soundtrack that bases off of classical music, and all kinds of French like things. I really wish I could talk in a French accent correctly, because that would be so cool if I could just do this entire thing in a French accent. Anyways, one can dream. I should have practiced. I should have practiced. Maybe next week. So what did you guys think about just the art style and the mechanics of the game and like how they work together, or if they didn't work, and kind of bringing this game to life?
Go ahead, Kev.
I thought they worked really well together. It's a little bit hard on the eyes at some points because it's just right. But I think it really fits well for what it is.
But as with all most games, once you get past the first 10 minutes and you're like, okay, I'm okay with this, buying in, and the artwork. What really, I guess, helps it along is once you get used, once you start enjoying the attitude that the writers put into it, and they're obviously not taking it very seriously, and neither should you. So, it's not like a poor graphic representation that's trying to be a serious game. This isn't, trying to be a serious game. It's trying to be, light and punny and well act very well, well put, well written. So, that wasn't a big, the art and the music and the simplicity of that wasn't really a big issue for me.
So it took you said after the first 10 minutes, so it took you a little bit to kind of get used to it.
It's like, okay, this is where we're going. All right, I get it. And As I said, the writing and the joking sort of helps you acclimate to that and say and agree to take the journey, so to speak.
The so well,
Go ahead, Madeline. No, you're fine.
So art for the our artiste members here, this to my untrained eye looks like engraving, but from what y'all were saying last week, it sounded like that this is something different. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I mean, it can. I mean, you can do. I mean, it does take on the effect of. You can also do this with printing. If you're doing like wood blocks for printing, it can also have this effect, but. What I'm seeing it as, and what it reminds me of, is more of a, and I, off the top of my head, I don't know like the years that this was really popular, but it's a French illustration style, or I think it originated in France, of kind of like, it's basically just ink, and they just create shade by what they call cross hatching, which is cr using lines to create shadow and to create depths. And a 2D drawing. I wish I knew like the exact name of it, but I
tune in
can't.
next week when Steph lets me know.
Right, exactly. But yeah, I mean, and then like I think this, I mean, I'm thinking like 1700s, 1800s. But then it kind of traveled, you know, as we got more immigration here in America, like it traveled over here and became popular with us, like with cartoonists and stuff back in the early 1900s, late 1800s.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, I enjoyed the art style from the beginning. I thought it was just very clever, and especially since it's based in France, that they kind of went with it. And I think also, like, I think I read that, like, they also used French classical, like, all of their soundtrack is it's kind of mixed, it's kind of original, but they use some parts of French classical artists.
Yeah, Kevin put in there the Camille Saint-Saëns, or however you...
Camille Saint-Saëns.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Sure.
And the art uses public domain of J.J. Granville, which was a French caricaturist. It mentions on her Wikipedia page lithographs. It doesn't say what he specifically did, but it was probably some sort of block printing, engraving type of thing.
Yeah.
So lithograph is just, what is that, like, just the process of printing?
Yeah. Yes, lithograph is a process of printing, yes.
So. But yeah, it's kind of crosshatch type of style
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. I didn't realize that the artwork was clipped from that.
Yeah, and apparently he was like political caricatures and satirical humor. So.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, all of his characters are exactly what these are. They're That's amazing. Like, I'm seeing one of the characters right here when I Google searched him. Like, I'm seeing one of the characters, his original illustration of it. That's really cool. That adds an interesting depth to me.
Yeah. That's probably why the humor is the way it is.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, they, as I said, they definitely dipped into that French theme, which I find fascinating. I mean, so it seemed like, you know, and with the humor, I mean, I found it very humorous. The jokes seemed to land pretty good for me. What did you guys think? Did you guys find the game funny?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. Yes.
Yes.
I guess we can wing it.
One of my favorite things is whenever the bird would make a pun, and it would do the little lines coming off of him, like to really like, and you'd hear the cymbal go, like to really like drive it home, like that he did a pun, that he made like a bad joke. I loved it.
It was so good.
It was.
I want to know, though, if the symbol has, like, the symbol crash that they were using had any sort of significance, like, back then. Like, was that, like, considered, like, the rim shot of the 18th century Paris or something like that?
Could be.
I mean, I've listened to, like, you know, I mean, like, I watch, like, older movies, like, from the early 1900s, and, I mean, you know, it seems like that's kind of, like, how that they kind of was, like, hey, this is a joke, laugh, like, kind of cueing the audience of sorts.
Yeah.
So I think it was probably just playing off of that, which I'm sure that wasn't anything new. I'm sure that was carried over from live shows that, you know, that was probably performed before then. But that's not like a factual answer. That's just from my own experience. Something else to look into. Symbol. Now I want a sound wave that's symbol crash. I mean, like...
Was there symbolism with that symbol?
Oh, now we need the sound.
Oh, I just realized something.
Yes.
Kevin. there's a if you end up saying when you break into the photographers, if you end up saying that you'll get arrested, Sparrowson calls 24601, and then Falcon wanted that. I didn't know what it was until I looked. I haven't seen Blame Is.
Yeah. That's the number of Jean Valjean in Les Mis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another French thing, which is fascinating. Is there anything that you guys think? Now, I do have a tidbit of because this was funded through Kickstarter, completely, and overfunded actually, in Kickstarter, but the moving mouse was something that they added in like after they made enough money to do so. It was kind of added in kind of post kind of
French goal type of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed it. I kind of liked it. Is there anything that you guys think that like with the game that could have been done better? Like, would you guys like to have seen heard some voice acting, or do you think that would have like added to the game or taken away from the game?
I think it probably would have taken away just because if there was voice acting, it'd probably end up with heavy French accents that would probably be hard to understand.
True.
I think
it would come off as
as phony or
xenophobic.
True.
I think one thing that I probably would change though is like the sounds that they used for voices. I think some of them were just like I wanted to smash my speakers in because they were just so ear piercing.
Like the kitty.
Yeah, and I think even like the maid or something like that.
It reminded me of like some of the more bit games that we played.
We've already heard this with, you know, Undertale and games like that. And it would have been nice to have had some other sort of, I guess, mechanic some other way of portraying different voices in like this visual novel type of game.
Yeah, I could see that.
At first, I was very annoyed by the voices because I went into settings when I started up the game and I was like, oh yeah, you have a voice in your volume meter. And then it's beeps.
Yeah, it's beeps. That's all it is.
But I did appreciate at least that voice had a different beep tone. And after the first 5 minutes, it didn't bother me.
Yeah, for sure. Anyone else? Anything?
Frank? I was just going to say the beeps sort of were out of place. You know, it's sort of like you're looking at 18th century France and you hear beeps and it's like, that's kind of out of place.
I wonder if
technology based, and I'm like,
they could have found some way to like maybe do different tones. I mean, they could probably change the tone electronically of like a typewriter and made it more like that.
Or just do the like the Charlie Brown thing. Or maybe the Charlie Brown thing with the womp womp womp.
No, Franco, no. Oh my gosh. We're digging a hole.
More a fan of the Peter and the Wolf method where every person is a different instrument, but that's wrong country of origin.
Yeah. So
maybe that'd be all right. Yeah.
Maybe if this team does a Russian one, then
there you go.
We can get one of that.
Yeah, I really hope. I mean, as far as like their Twitter and stuff goes, like I'm not seeing, they haven't like, I don't think that they've officially announced anything new. But I really hope that they do because I think this is a good start for them as a first game. Go ahead, Kevin.
Nothing.
Okay. I was going to say, like, I don't think there's anything that Yeah. I mean, I agree about the voice acting, that I think that it would have taken away. As far as like anything else, I did enjoy the mouth moving. I just thought it reminded me of very like, it was kind of like, which is a different country, but old like British, kind of like Monty Python, how they would have like the cutouts of Renaissance paintings and have the mouse moving. Good stuff.
The one thing that kind of irked me, I think, a little bit with the mouths moving is, like with the Dame Catterine or whatever her name is. I guess like other ones that are like that, the way that they have their mouths moving, it was like, it was essentially kind of like a rectangle, and it didn't seem as natural as like the birds
were. Right.
As
like,
natural as birds with hands and
Well, I meant like it seemed kind of like
choppy.
Yeah, I could see that.
Ventriloquist dummy.
Yeah, there you go. We're not going to mention ventriloquists. We're just going to knock breeze over that really quick. Yeah, that'd be a good horror game. A horror game about ventriloquist dummies. No thanks. What did you guys think about the menu system and like your evidence file and the quote unquote Facebook, which I loved?
Yes, that was cool.
Did you guys find that it was intuitive enough, or did you think that it could have been expanded more?
I think some of the, like, what we were given, I don't know, maybe utilized a little better. Because it felt like, you know, especially when you were in the trial and... like, you have so much evidence, yet there's only, I don't know, 3 things in there that absolutely matter. And everything else is you're just wasting everyone's time if you bring it up.
Except for the red herring.
Yeah.
Because it's a red herring, yeah.
So it was just like, I don't know, it's... there could have been more interactivity, I guess.
For sure.
It's kind of presented, and you really don't use it much, you know, until you get to the trial.
Are you talking about the first case or the second?
Just in general.
Yeah.
In general, yeah.
Yeah.
I would have liked maybe, you know, because if you went into the evidence file and you clicked on something, it just sort of like, it's there. You know, it's maybe a little description, maybe let you closer examine it.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, that's the other thing, too. It would have been nice if you could click on something and get a, like, expanded view, or, like, you could actually go and interact with it, rather than it being a picture and then you hover your mouse over and it's just a short description.
I agree. I know towards the beginning I kept going into the menu and clicking on things because I was kind of expecting it to kind of magnify up at least so I could take a better look at it, but instead it just gave like a little, like, I think a sentence description over to the left. It would have been nice, or even like if they had maybe items in there that were, I think you guys mentioned this just a couple minutes ago, of that weren't necessary for the case but were there to just kind of throw you off, you know. You know, and just pick up, you know, I'm not saying that you should be able to pick up everything, but it seems like, I'm pretty sure, as Kevin said, the red herring, everything is pretty much useful in some way if you use it correctly. Like, if you have, you know, if you use it in the trial.
And then the other thing, too, is, so the Spanish prince, that was day 2?
That was act 2, yeah.
That was act 2. So... that was the other thing, too, is I went to the chocolatier, and, like, you're asking him, oh, have you seen this guy? Have you seen this guy? And it's if you haven't seen a specific person, mm-hmm. you're wasting your time. And then he gets mad yes. at you and is like, well, why don't you come back when you have better? Mm-hmm. It mm-hmm. would have been better to have known that
yeah.
there's still more to do rather yeah. than just kind of going through and grasping at straws to figure out something.
Like, exactly. Even if it was like yeah. a verbal cue yeah, or like a text cue, I mean.
Yeah.
From, but I didn't catch from it. The attorneys being yeah. like, you know, well, there's really nothing that we can do there. Let's not go back to the chocolatier at this time. You know, let's invest. Because I did the exact same thing. I went to the chocolatier,
yeah.
asked him about, like, I think I even, like, exited and came back and asked him about more people. And he was, like, you know, he was all up in arms.
Yeah, because it would have been...
He was all up in tusks.
It would have been nice if you opened up the Facebook there and it was, like, I think we need to meet more people before I can present...
Yes.
You'll present anyone to him, or mm-hmm. suspect, or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. I agree.
Yeah, that was one of the things I ran into in my playthrough of it. I'm going through again and trying to get a better outcome for the second case, but yeah, the not really knowing fully what to do because some mm-hmm. of the things are time sensitive and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think it was partial. Like halfway through, you end up getting like that little special event thing.
I think I completely missed because I only saw that once, and you just reminded me that it was even a thing. So I'm pretty sure I probably missed one in Act 2 because I didn't see it.
It's
nothing... It was only in Act 2.
Oh, okay.
There was, I don't think they're, like, detrimental to advancing the plot.
No,
I think
no, yeah.
They were just little, like, extra stuff, but...
Was there only one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Act 2, oh. yeah.
Yeah. Okay. They tell you a lot of the backstory that leads yeah. into other stuff, yeah. which is yeah. much well, more know, important in the next
well, I know, yeah, yeah. I know that, like, the one in Act 1 was showing the two... hooded foxes, which kind of looked like the judge from Act 2, and
wolves,
yes.
Yes.
Yeah, anyways, so.
Yeah, interesting. I, too, blew a couple days off in the chocolatier, so much so that it totally, like, the trial was going horribly, so it's like...
yeah.
So I backed up and said, I obviously missed a really big key piece of evidence. So, which I have to commend the game. It let me, I didn't realize how detailed it would let me go back. I mean, Act 2, every day is available to go back to. So, you know, So I went all the way back before the chocolatier and said, okay, let's try this again. It wasn't too bad. It was only...
Yeah.
You know, it, which again, to the game's credit, and because if you do have to do this, it's pretty fast to play through. You just keep clicking away. You know what's coming, so
right.
And the other thing too that I was worried about as well is when you go to visit the prince, and then you know come to find out that he's the investigator, the private eye, basically, and he tells you to let the mouse know that
the birds have fun.
Yeah, so then it's like I go to the office there, and you walk in, and then they basically say, "What are we doing here? We have a court case to go to." And it was like, yeah. "Did I like miss something, or
you blew off one too many days?"
Yeah, yeah, and it was like, "Did I like just waste all my time, and now I can't do this?" And it was just and. Going into that other trial, I felt so unprepared
mm-hmm.
that, like, I felt like I was going to fail because it was, like, I had no direction or, right. like, any idea because the other one, you were more prepared, you had an idea mm-hmm. of what you were doing, and mm-hmm. then this one, it just felt like you're flying at the seat of your pants because it's just, you have barely any evidence to go into a trial to defend the guy.
Which yeah. may, yeah, I mean, yeah, I get that. It may have been maybe partially what they wanted to, how they wanted you to feel, though, to kind of feel like you didn't have enough evidence, because I think that's kind of the, what I got from their dialogue with each other, was that they're just kind of like, well, I guess it's trial day, gotta go in. But yeah, so... Maybe yeah, there was a gameplay. Yes, Frank?
I was going to say, it pretty much, you know, the first act was pretty loosey-goosey. You pretty much almost couldn't screw up.
Yeah.
Unless you missed baby steps, happens, basically.
Yeah. Right. But the second one really tightened up, where you pretty much had to do, I mean, after backing up, I almost backed up to the first day. You know, I think I backed up to the second day, right after you take the case. I just happened to, I said, okay, don't screw around with the chocolatier. Go there once, then go everywhere else. And, you know, and if you do it that way, I ended up nailing it perfectly. I mean, you know, just like, you know, and hitting the mouse, getting to the mouse, getting the right pieces of information from the mouse after you tell them the birds have flown, you know. And everything just sort of like, you know, it's really, yeah, it's kind of the toughest part of this guy, I have to ask, you know, is the interrogation and figuring out what you should question about.
Yeah. Because otherwise you risk making the jury upset and not in your favor.
Yeah, you have about like 4 more screw ups.
Yeah.
Or like 4 in the negative value. I'm not sure if you can screw up more than that, but and then get positives too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing that I had a problem with was, I mean, not really a problem, but it halfway through day 2 with the whole like when you first go into the chocolatier and you don't have enough, you haven't talked, you know, you haven't found that evidence that of the person that you need to ask him about, which I think is what the first part of the trial for Act 2, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so I kept going back. And so, like, I ended up, like, wasting 2 days. Or no, I didn't waste 2 days, but, like, I realized because I went back to a couple places and it was like, okay, well, there's really nothing we can do here. And then it would start leaving. I'd be like, oh, no, because as soon as they would leave, it would be the start of a new day, which that would be an autosave. So I would just exit out of the game and then go back into it to make sure it didn't autosave. And it worked. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't really, like, I was just kind of going to different places just to be like, did I miss something? Like, is there something that I forgot what it was. It was a last piece of evidence for the first part of Act 2 before you go to the first part of the trial in Act 2. Someone I had to talk to that I was completely missing. But then I finally, you know, got it and was able to move on. But
yeah. The first time I played it through, I wasn't able to, like, I would assume everybody else got thrown into the, I think Act 2 was when you get into the, thrown into the river?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I wasn't able to connect the pen to the judge.
Right, because that's all part of the chocolatier, yeah.
Yeah, because I couldn't get the chocolatier. So that's how I ended up not getting her free.
Did it still prompt you? Did it still say, surely I have, like, I have another piece of evidence? Because this is what it did to me. It says, I have another piece of evidence. That, and then I'm looking in the box, and I'm like, no, you don't. Yeah. There is nothing here.
Yeah, it's like, surely you must have a piece of evidence, and you're like, I don't have anything.
Mm-hmm. So I went back 2 days, because I'd gone to the gallery twice. Because I went back to the gallery again to see if I could try and talk to the porcupine one more time. Because he seemed to know something about our fox friend.
The porcupine kind of confused me as well. Because I thought, at first I thought he was stealing a painting. It looks like he had a painting under his arm.
No, it's just really socially awkward.
Yeah. I love that. I love that.
Please don't talk to me. Please don't talk to me.
That's like me. That's like me in like everyday life. That's me in everyday life. Getting off to the side, being like, oh, I really hope this person is coming to talk to me. Please don't talk to me. Please don't talk. Oh, here we go. Okay. Hey.
Now I have to be nice.
How's it going? Yeah, no, I liked, and that's one thing, a good thing, you know, is that I liked, as far as the characters go, like, I enjoyed how different they were, and how they found different ways of bringing out their personality, like, in your conversations with them. You know, Juan was a fun character, quote-unquote, Prince Juan. He was a fun character. I enjoyed, yeah, the porcupine was fun, even though he was only there for, like, a moment in time. I really like Sparrison. Sparrison's fun. Yeah, like, and, you know, the little mouse guy is cool. Did you guys have any characters that kind of, that you kind of liked more than the others?
I found Mousy to be a fun character.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They all kind of freak me out.
Oh no, what? Stanton, wait a minute, wait, we have to discuss this. Why, how does that make you feel, seeing these animal characters, you know, talking?
It's not the fact of there's animal characters that are talking. Uh-huh. It's more of the fact that you have birds with hands. And they can't fly because they have regular legs and whatnot.
Right, yeah.
It's just, that, I don't
that
like,
freaks you out.
That's just really taking me out of the game right now.
Really? Wow.
It's like on Sesame Street where there was those dogs that had the human bodies.
No, this is like if Sesame Street was some like fever induced nightmare.
Oh my god.
Oh boy, Disney must be a total nightmare for you.
No, that's Disney's so fine because it's their
cartoon. But
you got a mouse with big white hands and
yeah, but that's you got cartoony. Pluto
and Goofy.
That's cartoony. Like this is like they're trying to make them be like real people.
I guess maybe.
That is really interesting. Like I find it charming. Like I'm like, yes, this is amazing. And you're like, no, I don't like it.
Exactly.
I don't like it.
Like anthropomorphic.
Yeah. See, it's like I don't.
So if it was more animal-esque.
No, I think it was if it was more cartoony, I wouldn't have as big of an issue.
But it's just because it looks kind of like like
you took an actual bird head and stuck it on a human body.
Yeah, and it's like they're going for like too much realism here.
Well, it just blame the French the guy side. From the 1800s.
It breaks. And now I know what I'm getting you for Christmas or your birthday. Yep.
That so art book.
I'm getting you like an art book or like a poster of like animals, realistic, like cross-hatched animals with legs.
There you
It'll
go.
Be great. It'll be great. It'll be great. that's too funny. Too funny.
And so, I guess I'll get you the book of ventriloquist puppets.
Oh no, 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 no!
Let's see, there's about 3 Twilight Zone episodes we can get.
Oh no!
And I know at least one movie that did that.
Yeah, that's why I'm afraid of them, Frank.
Goosebumps.
Anyone else have any fun characters that they liked?
I definitely enjoyed the sparrow for his love of chocolate, and he's a foodie. So
he is,
yeah.
And did anybody? Now that I'm thinking about it, rewinding the Act Two a couple times. I only rewound it once, but I'm doing the thing in my head. Mm-hmm. Was the bar really? Did we get anything? We only got one. I'm trying to think, what was the one clue that, you know, did we get a clue out of the bar? And I'm like, because I'm thinking about the dogs, talking about the hunting, and the foaming at the mouth really didn't come up at trial.
It was the poison.
The, Right.
That's what the clue was.
That's what it was. Okay. And the other thing was the library. Who pointed out about the library?
The dog or something, because they were like, if you're looking for information, you might as well go
to the poison. Yeah.
Yeah, go to the library. Yeah. I'm not.
Oh, about the Spanish royalty. Yeah.
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 Oh, he's got. Yeah. What's wrong with that bird? It's perfectly normal.
Oh, yes, the photographer.
Oh, yes, the photographer. Wait,
is the second act the one with the fisherman? Or should I say the person who fishes?
Yes.
The person who fishes, yes.
Right, right, exactly.
easily offended kingfish.
That one's a good one for you, Chris. Enjoy. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. Wow.
And I'll give you some good nightmares tonight. Yeah. So did you guys, with the trials, you had a trial at the end of Act 1 and the big trial at the end of Act 2, or it was bigger than the Act 1 win. Were you satisfied with how things turned out? Do you think that there was a good resolution on those story arcs? Because they're both kind of, it seems like there's different mostly separate story arcs with each act.
I was, I originally defended her successfully in Act 1, and I was really pissed off at the end of Act 1. I wanted to, quit playing the game first played it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because you're like, oh, I defended her, and she's like, I killed him.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you hung this innocent lion guy.
He's not hung yet.
Well,
is that the proper? No, I don't know.
Jesus,
I don't know. He's not executed yet. We'll go with that, I think.
but you sentence him to his death, and
oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, so that made you didn't like that ending.
Like when a game makes me mad, like how it did, it wasn't like a I'm mad because this is stupid. I'm like, I'm mm-hmm. mad because this is like something I didn't actually see coming. It was like the good writing mad. Like, why do you do this?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and that was at the end of the first act, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that I enjoyed the resolution for the second act more than the first act. I think just because it was just interesting how, I mean, I enjoy kind of like showing up the judge and putting the blame on him and just kind of turning things around when it looked hopeless. I thought it was an interesting transaction. And then Stupid Sparrison, who ate the chocolate wrapper, just he was like, I ate it 48 or what was it 4 hours 45, ago
oh 45 yeah 45 minutes ago
45 minutes ago and then bam, I was like, oh, he's dead, he's gone, we're just gonna play as Falcon for the rest of the game. Oh gosh, Franco.
And that's Anthony Hopkins. Oh, so goodness. That's talking about scary movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, movie's called Magic.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I was going to say to Kevin's, I was upset or kind of miffed or angry too. But then after playing Act Two or getting into Act Two, it's like that was really well done because it set you up for that sort of, you know, failure of. Oh, I really got played in the first act, you know, yeah. I thought I did everything right, had a perfect trial, got her off, you know, and then, you know, I really got played.
Yeah. Yeah. I went through most of Act Two thinking that the swan had killed him. Because someone had mentioned a swan towards the end of Act Two. Well, yeah, but she was coerced into doing so.
Yes.
But
well, oh yeah.
She's the one that actually, well, did anybody else get, you know, all the clues in the second? I must admit, I backed up once, and then knew, you know, pretty much lucked out on the sequencing the second time through to get it just right, where you, you know, you go to the chocolatier once, you get turned down, you do the first day of the trial, you see the guy, the wolf judge. Once you see the wolf judge, you can go back to the chocolatier, and then you can ID the judge as the guy who bought the chocolate.
Yeah. I mean, I think so. Yeah.
And the big part was you get the receipt.
Yes, I got the receipt.
Okay. So the receipt's written in green ink.
Yes, yes. Receipt's written in green ink, so then you have the green pen.
Which is an evil right. color. Or sinister yes. right. color.
It's an evil all color. All
sinister people write in green, yes.
No one writes in green ink.
Yeah,
no one.
My mom grades in green. She's a high school math teacher.
Well, she oh, has to. She yeah, has to, Madeline.
Green and red.
Green and purple. She doesn't do red anymore.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. But, I tell you what, going back to the second, you know, doing the redo, it was so satisfying to nail every piece of evidence.
Oh, I'm
it's
sure.
It's like, yes, I got this, yes, I got this, yes, yeah. I did.
Yeah, yeah.
I got lazy and started using a walkthrough.
Really?
I was just like, this, like, I don't know, none of this is doing anything for me, so I just want to kind of go through and not have to... think
okay
it was so, the it was the animal no, guys. No, it was setting him on
what,
edge
no you know what yes. it really was it was Sparrowson's hands behind his back that was really doing
that I can see that
because it was just like they're just there on display and it's just this isn't natural this is so not natural.
I love how much this bothers you, like this is great. I'm so sorry that you were that this bothered you. Absolutely, but inside I'm laughing hysterically. Yeah, for sure. Those hands behind his back—they were really, really something. They really set me on edge too, man.
Sure thing. Tell you, man.
We all have our little, you know. I'll never watch it because as a kid I was terrified by culverts or you know water drains.
That's it? Like, it wasn't
the clowns were okay.
Oh, I was always a... I mean, Jesus, you know, this is like therapy 101. I was terrified of going down the culvert, you know, actually getting sucked down the culvert, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's horrible, but it's so interesting that it wasn't the clown that set you off.
No.
That's for another chat. Yeah. That's for another chat.
Thank you for sharing your deepest, darkest fears.
Ben. Yeah, thank you, Franco.
You're welcome.
We'll promise to exploit them at every opportunity.
I'm sure. We're going to find a game that has plenty of storm sewers.
So someone... Thank you, Coven. Thank you. So... Is there a really creepy hand?
They are.
Oh, God.
Really well detailed.
I will never unsee that now.
I know. I see. Did you get what I'm talking about now?
They're very detailed. Okay, wow. I gotta scroll away from that.
Roll up to the dolls.
Someone mentioned something very important I think we need to discuss. Is why... Madeline, please present your question. That's very serious.
Yes, so when you see... The opening scene of the game is we see the cat standing at the top of the staircase, all face in shadow, and pan down the staircase, and Monsieur Greenway is laying at the bottom with his belly ripped open and is completely naked. And I made sure in every other animal that you meet in this game is fully dressed, and in the Facebook, Monsieur Greenway is wearing clothes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, why was he naked? Why did no one ask this question?
That is a good question.
I think it's because of the fact that they're using public domain photos.
I 100% know that's it. But everything else that they use in the story makes sense within the world of the story.
To hide the blood.
Perhaps you want to take a dip in the fountain.
Because she wanted to gut him like a science experiment.
No, I completely agree. Like,
I mean, frog was freaky. All right.
I think that's a good question to bring up. And also that no one mentioned it in the trial. Like, no one mentioned that he was naked.
No.
It was just about his death.
Maybe he was just a free spirit.
I agree.
We know that the police inspector has something to be desired still. But at the same time, if I was going to say I didn't do it, that I was framed, to say, you know, that this was self-defense. If a naked frog was coming at you and you're a young kitty girl.
Yeah. That's... that would seem frightening.
It's not, you just reacted out of instinct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Open shed.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. For sure. For sure. I mean, if a naked frog was coming at me, even if I wasn't a kitty girl and it was the same size as me, I would get that thing. I would, it would be done.
Insert crazy frog joke.
Yes. Absolutely.
I'm so glad they did not use any of the bug creatures that J.J. Granville
had made. Some really weird he was a French illustrator. There's some interesting, disturbing things going on in some of these. So is there anything else that anyone else that wants to bring up, anything that we haven't covered already?
I love the giraffe lady that they always kept, that they had so many jokes about her being so tall.
Yeah.
Especially when Sparrowson comes to, when you go to see her later with Sparrowson, and he's like, down here.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they just had fun playing, having a height disparity, because you have the play between the giraffe and everyone else, and then the mouse, who's totally unobserved,
the mouse is trying to talk to them, and it's like, do you hear something, is there, and then it's like pan down, dramatic pan down.
And then you have Sparrow's son, who's playing on it because he gets to pickpocket the prosecuting attorney, because he's so short they can't see him,
you know? Oh my goodness.
A lot of height shaming going on here.
A lot of height. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of height shaming in the animal kingdom, too, I think.
I would imagine.
I think that's safe to say. Oh, my God, you found it. Yes.
There we go. Sparrows and mice are pretty close to the same size in real life, though. So I was a little bit surprised that they made the mouse scaled to about what, like, human to mice.
That's true. Yeah, I guess that they were probably trying to, you know, give you more kind of a relational aspect to the main characters, as kind of like, oh, these characters are like me. They're, human-sized, even though spirits are not human-sized. Thank goodness. That would be frightening.
Mon Dieu, he is naked. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, he is. He is, and as Madeline said, it's the only thing that's naked in this. And I mean, I'm pretty sure everything else has clothes, even the mouse.
Yeah, the mouse at least wears like a shawl robe.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of thing. It's not full dress, but
this thing's something. Yeah, he's completely just splayed open there.
He's out there, yeah.
Man,
dissected.
Oh, poor guy. So well, next week we are going to be covering Act 3 and 4. I would guess it's the same length. I actually haven't played them yet. I know that's what I would think, because I know Act 4 has like 2 or 3 parts. So
yeah, it depends on act. It depends on what you get in, I think, the previous act.
Okay. So just make sure that you give yourself, you know, maybe a limit of like 3 hours tops, in case you're one of those that plays it right before we start game chat, which is fun. No judging. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I've enjoyed it so far. I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see if and for. I mean, I know Kevin's. Have you beat it, Kevin? Have you finished all of it?
Yeah, okay. I got one of the three.
But I figured. Has anyone else here played all the way through?
No.
Okay.
It was good.
It was good.
No, I was good. Okay. Really wanted to.
Yeah, that was one of the things that you said to me, and I'm like, oh, yes.
I wanted to play it for a long time. I remember seeing it streamed when I used to watch Twitch more consistently a couple years ago, and by Elspeth. But I remember watching it being streamed, and I was like, this looks really interesting, but I just never got around to it. But glad we did. I'm enjoying it, and I'm excited to see. What I was going to say is that I'm kind of hoping, like in Act 4, that there's something that kind of strings all this together, mm-hmm. Which seems like that would be par for the course, because there is like little things that kind of string that I think that strung 1 and 2 together. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm hoping that Falcon doesn't get thrown into the river anymore. Hopefully, Sparrison doesn't eat another wrapper of poison chocolate, which I would think that the chocolatier would be a little suspicious if someone brought in, like, here, I brought in this homemade caramel for you to put inside the chocolates, please.
And then he only brought enough just to fill the chocolate so he could sample it.
Exactly. Like, this is just enough to fill one chocolate. But probably the chocolatier was just like, this guy's really meticulous. I dig it.
Wait, that's how he...
Yeah.
I never actually figured out how it was poisoned.
The judge brought in homemade caramel to be put inside the chocolates the chocolatier made.
Right.
Had Wolfsbane in it.
With what?
Had Wolfsbane in it.
Right, with Wolfsbane in it. So.
1800s France, what are you going to do?
Exactly. I mean, you know, they were eccentric, whatevs. The rich will do what the rich do, I guess. Yeah, the so anyways.
That's what they kept calling them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bourgeois.
It's going to be the king.
We're going to learn French. We're going to learn French playing these games, obviously. Yeah,
just not know how to pronounce anything.
Right. Exactly. So next week, Act 3 and 4, and we'll finish up the game. Yeah, and then I think after that, if you want to kind of get stuff together, after that we have Blackwood Crossing.
Yes. More anthropomorphic animals.
But that one has blood, and that one's anthropomorphic.
Yes. Sorry, Stanton.
Stanton's gone. He's okay. Left.
I need to double check because I've heard that one before.
Yeah, so Blackwood Crossing will be what we play after Aviary Tourney. And then I plan, because I think that one's a 1 weeker, so, and then I plan to spend the following week discussing Where the Water Tastes Like Wine, which we've had a few weeks to play.
I still need to finish
for those that played it. Yeah, I still need to as well. Yeah, so anyways, I'll see you guys next week. So have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.